Welcome to Bethel's weekly podcast on Luther's Small Catechism, and today we're discussing the Apostles' Creed, Third Article, Part 2. And Jill, would you read what's in the box on page 205?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And this week we're focusing on the second paragraph. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And also, in this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Amen. Well, today we're talking about the church, and before we go to our central thought, let's ask that one question. What do people think today about the church? So just kind of off the top of your head, this is similar to the question that Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? So it'd be interesting just to go on the street and say, well, what do you think about the church? Who is the church? What do you think people would say?
Oh, I think a lot of people think the church is a building, or that the church is a religious government.
Okay, say more.
That
like a denomination or something?
Yeah, like a denomination, like a hierarchy of rules.
So like Roman Catholic
yes.
Church or maybe Lutheran Church.
Right.
Methodist Church. How many can you name? I mean, there's a lot of different churches.
Yeah. You know, when I keep thinking about my little kid brain thought everyone was the same religion I was growing up. And then realized, oh, everybody's not. And my little kid brain thought everybody goes to church and, you know, didn't have the concept of there are people that don't know about church, don't know about God.
Right. So the average person is probably confused because there's so many different buildings, so many different letters on the buildings. I mean, you have the names like Our Savior's Grace, Hope, Love, Community. And then you have all these other names like Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, EV Free, or non-denominational, or like The Bridge. I mean, we got some really new names.
Well,
out there. Crossroads, Cornerstone.
And then my little kid brain thought you had to go to a church. And then it's only within the last few years realizing, oh, Jesus didn't, I mean, they had temples, but Jesus preached on the streets and started reading books about home churches, that it wasn't just a Bible study, that people would have actual worship in their homes. And it was kind of when they outgrew these spaces that they either would split off and create more home churches, or that they would come together and invest in building a bigger space to worship together.
Yeah, and it's only recently, really within this century, that we have this idea of mega church.
Yeah.
We have thousands of people gathered together in one place to have a worship service.
Except if you listen, or if you listen or read those early conversion in the Bible, those are, you know, how many people they're baptizing at Pentecost.
This is a good transition point. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, which means to call out. Ek is out, klesia is the call out. And so we are the ones who are called out. And what we'll learn today is that we're called out by the Spirit through the gospel, or as we were talking earlier before this podcast, the means of grace.
Right.
And a means is a vehicle. So we, our means of grace that we constantly refer to are baptism or the preaching of the word or also communion.
I put notes all over my book when it was talking about the means of grace. The spoken word of God, or the spoken word of the gospel and the sacraments. So baptism, absolution, so confession.
Lord's table, Lord's supper, and
communion together.
Right. So these are things that the Holy Spirit uses. So the Spirit is the one who calls. We are the messengers. The Old Testament idea was that God's presence was in the temple. So that was in the tabernacle, which was built by cloth and skins that the Israelites carried with them and set up in the wilderness. Then that later became what is called a Solomon's temple, or David designed it, but Solomon built it. And then later Herod completed it in Jerusalem. But there's always been this idea in the New Testament that when Pentecost happened, the Holy Spirit rested upon all the disciples who were the apostles, meaning that each one of us now is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So in essence, we are the church as individuals, but we're together the church as well.
Yeah.
So let's dive in. Jill, let's go to Acts chapter 2, and we're on page 1445, I believe.
Yeah.
And let's read, starting with verse 42.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
For many, this is used as a model for contemporary church development and planting, where you have a larger gathering place like the temple, but the actual smaller fellowship groups happen in the homes. And that's why we have what we call today small groups, or I think it was Christ Care groups at one point, or
right.
Goes by different names. But the idea is we gather together as a larger assembly, and then during the week, we gather together in homes, in smaller units. But notice in verse 42, they came together for the purpose of listening to the gospel, the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship. So that means what Jesus said, I wish that they would know the same oneness or the fellowship that I have with you, Father. So just as you and I are one, I want them to be one with me and with us. And so this idea of coming together and learning to love one another, to sit together like Mary at Jesus' feet and to listen to his teaching, and then to care for each other. That's the church.
Yeah.
And it was designed to be a bright witness to the world of what love looks like. If you ever needed a place to taste and see or experience and feel love, come to the church, the local community of believers. So let's go back to your Luther's Small Catechism, and we're still on page 205. And Jill, would you read the rest of the central thought and the main point?
The central thought, God did not create us to live in isolation from one another. And the questions that we're asking as we read through these, what did people today think about the church? And how is the church described here? So the church is a body, the church is a temple, the church is people. Those are the things we're looking at. And further along, I should seek out those who also confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, for they are truly my brothers and sisters in Christ.
So that's why when we talk about the church, we always have to include others who also believe in Christ, and they may not live in the same country or belong to the same nation.
Right.
But we're still together, the church. We're the body of Christ. And there's a lot of passages in the Bible. You can read about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how we are the body. And we can't say to each other, well, you don't belong, or I'm more important than you. Because when one person is honored, we're all honored. Now, that's not just individuals within a community in a local place like Bethel. But when you think of when other fellow Christians, let's say like in China, are suffering, those are our brothers and sisters. Or even just right here, San Juan Baptista. These are our Mexican brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to each other. We're family.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so many times that, you know, the part of being a body when one suffers, and I look around a lot, and, you know, it's a broken world. It's not, you know, oh, there's not enough for all of us. It's, if we work together, we can lift each other up. We can make it a better world for all of us. If one person's hurting, I think about things like, the handicap stalls or the ramps on the sidewalk, you know, that were made to make life easier for a specific purpose. But then, hey, that's kind of actually nice for all of us. Who doesn't want a little more room in the bathroom? Or who doesn't... you know, oh, I'm riding my bike. Hey, now I don't have to clunk on and off the street. Or someone's got a stroller. Or, you know, it helps us all. Those little things may have had a purpose for a minority, but then they lift us all up in different ways that weren't expected.
Good point. It gets pretty complicated when we think about what's happening in our world today with war, especially when you have people who confess to believe in Jesus Christ on both sides, shooting each other. And it's like, well, wow, we're killing family here. And the Lord will definitely have something to say when we are all in front of the judgment seat. But let's... with the time remaining here, just to do a very quick survey of some of the things that are important for us to know. If you look on page 206, it's important to know that the most often used metaphor for the church is called the body of Christ. So I'm looking at question 202. Mm-hmm. What is the church? It is the body of Christ, all people whom the Spirit, by means of grace, has gathered to Christ in faith throughout the world. Key important, throughout the world. Now, on page 207, you'll note this little note, because sometimes when we confess that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, or some creeds will say the Holy Christian Church, but Catholic here as lowercase c means universal, and that is existing through all time and throughout the world, including people who confess and believe in Jesus Christ from every background, people, and nation, past, present, and future.
Right, and I also like the note underneath, too, that said the word church is used for such things because confessing Christians are found within them. And I thought, oh, that was just really tender.
Now, with any gathering place, there's a parable that talks about this. There's the wheat, and then there's the tares, or the weeds.
Yeah.
And it's not our job to sort out who's a true believer or not. We just have a group of people. They're all gathered. But God knows who believes in him and who doesn't.
Oh, a lot of times I try to take a step back whenever I catch myself thinking that way, because it's like, I don't want anyone to get left behind. And I don't want to be the chaff. I don't want to be the tare. And I don't want that for anyone else.
Right. So our job's not to judge, but our job, so to speak, is to love and to encourage.
Right.
In fact, Jesus said, well, actually not Jesus, but it's the writer of Hebrews. He said, as you see the day of the Lord approaching, and it seems like it's just around the corner, but as you sense that happening, we should not give up the habit of meeting together.
Yeah.
In fact, all the more.
Right.
To encourage and admonish and support one another.
Well, I think that's so true, that all the more because you keep seeing these things around us that look even scarier. And sometimes it's like, hey, didn't the Bible say this was going to happen? Does this mean this? Does this mean that? And even Jesus says, we don't know. He doesn't know the time. We don't know the time. Only God knows the time. But that's why we need to keep lifting each other up.
Yes,
God knows the time, but we lift each other up and support each other.
Now, a little bit off script, but I've heard many times in my lifetime, oh, I'm a Christian. I don't need to go to church. I can just worship God at home or worship God on TV with the local TV evangelist. And technically, maybe yes, but we belong to Christ, but we also belong to each other. And that's why we gather. And it's not about being selfish. Am I getting anything out of this? It's we need to each other. We belong to each other. Someone in the church that day may be weak or suffering or full of doubt. And you might be the answer to that person that day. You might be the source of encouragement or help or just a loving hug or understanding. That's why we come together, because we belong to each other.
I've had that thought too, actually, when I was in college. You know, I drifted away, and I came back though. My family, my roots, the church I grew up in, God kept calling me back, and also, you know, these words kept saying, "No, come back, build each other up. Encourage one another." And when I hear other people say that, that's one thing that I do challenge people on. And I say, because I have a different relationship with God, than it's changed than what I grew up with. You know, I've always felt like I had a relationship with God, but sometimes it was not just checking a box, but it was more like, okay, I did God today.
Right, and that's important, because There's a number of writers who call that the false religious self. I checked the box. I did God today. Well, that's no deep relationship with the Lord that's loving. I understand it, though. We all perform. And just because you have perfect attendance in church doesn't mean a thing. I mean, you can sleep through the whole service.
Right.
And leave unchanged. The whole purpose of coming and gathering together is to hear God's word, to hear forgiveness and absolution, to participate with Christ in Holy Communion, and to pray for each other and encourage. Pretty hard to do that by yourself.
Well, and at the same time, I felt like I had, I was going to say dialogue, but I know sometimes it was a prayer monologue with God throughout my life. But, you know, I was searching. But I know when God led me back that I was finally at a place where I felt a different relationship and understood in a different way. And so that's what I try to share with other people, say, no, I have been where you were, where you are, but it can be different.
Well, the church as a people,
yeah,
is God's gift to you.
Yeah.
If you're only by yourself, the temptation is to fall into narcissism because you're only looking at yourself. You're
right.
Only thinking about yourself. The nature of love is always self-giving to another person. So when you have another person in your life, that humbles you. But it also is an opportunity to serve and to receive from another person.
Yeah, and I just, when I understood in a different way, when I started seeing that, oh, I could have a different relationship with God, when I saw that, when I saw what I saw in my friends and with other people, I was like, oh, I get it now. And so that's why I challenge that for other people and say, oh, you know, it doesn't have to be where I go. Mm-hmm. But if you're not getting it where you go, if you're by yourself, you know, you can come where I go. You're welcome here. Or try somewhere else.
Well, Luther said,
yeah,
there are the church,
yeah,
the true church, and it's not a denomination per se. The true church is where the gospel is preached,
yeah,
and the sacraments rightly administered. So that means simply, you know, if it's just getting together and having food, that could be the church if the gospel is declared. But if that's all you do, what's the difference between that and a restaurant or going to a pub?
Well, in our chapter, it talks about marks and signs of the church.
Where are you at?
Page 214. It's under connections and application. It's rubric 212, the red question, what are identifying characteristics of the church? And that's something to look for. Identifying marks that guarantee the presence of the church are pure proclamation of the gospel and the right administration of the sacraments. Where these are, the Spirit creates faith. God's word of promise is sure and does what it says.
Right, and the flip side of that coin is 213, that the church is present also when they are suffering for Christ. So not only is it the prayer and the worship and the proclamation and the gospel and the sacraments, but when the church is suffering with Christ, serving the needs of one's neighbor, the church is also present.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can be at dinner and you can bring Christ into that.
You can.
Yeah.
So that's why we always want to be careful that we always proclaim Jesus. People always hear Jesus. It's not just through a sermon, but if you've ever wondered, why do we read so much scripture in a worship, in our worship service, it's because of this reason. We read four texts, the Old Testament, Psalm, New Testament, and then a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. So you have you get the idea of God's living word spoken to you directly. We serve communion every week so that you can hear the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. We start every service every week with these words, in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, so that you can worship. We do prayers together. We have devotions by different people. We call them watchwords. And then we have a time where we can really care for each other a little bit during the sharing of the peace, but also afterwards. How are you doing? What's going on in your life? How can I help? That's being the church.
Yeah, it's been really powerful, and that's the thing. It's not one person doing everything. It's so many people that are doing a lot of things, but everybody is a little piece, and that's what makes up the body.
Right. So you're important. Keep coming. I dare say, Jill, that both you and I would not be who we were or are without the church.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We have been shaped so profoundly. And for you who are listening, you are being shaped too. So, Jill, if you would, let's close here in reading the prayer on page 221.
Holy Father, by your Spirit, you brought us to faith in your Son and made us a member, all members of his body, of the church. We thank you that you daily and richly forgive us many sins, giving us comfort and peace in this life and a certain hope for the life to come. Give us joy in the promise you made to us in baptism and a ready heart to hear and keep your word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. So next week, Apostles' Creed, third article, part 3. And then we're going to move on to the Lord's Prayer.
Ooh.
So thank you, Jill. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. I have a key under the blood.